Last week, the Dharma talk ended with a quote from Joko. Practice is always feeling that self-centered push we have about our life, that incessant desire to make ourselves happy and content, free from all sorts of troubles. And I'm not saying not to do what we ordinarily can do, but the point is we can't do it completely. That dissatisfaction poisons human life. Do you see that? Close quote. Ending with this, rather than beginning the talk with this, what are the possible consequences of that? Of course, it's fine to begin with that. And there are differences in what we begin with, what we end with. Despite that beginnings and endings are just segues of this moment life, this moment ongoing practice, ongoing cause effect, ongoing arising passing. In a way, we can ask the same question about ending our practice periods with four practice principles. Could just as well begin the Zazen with four practice principles. In some places, that is done, or with some other gatha. Gatha of the practice principles, caught in self-centered dream, only suffering, holding to self-centered thought, exactly the dream. Each moment, life as it is, the only teacher, being just this moment, compassion's way. What are possible results and consequences of doing this at the end? In a way, it connects our Zazen, our period of formal practice, with the rest of our life and allows us, more than allows us, encourages us and guides us in how we live and practice and carry practice along in the rest of our life, how we notice self-centeredness, notice self-centered dreams when they arise, or maybe notice the consequences of the suffering, harming, the unsatisfactoriness. Some of you might notice that I have said holding to self-centered thought, even though traditionally, we do it holding to self-centered thoughts. But there's a reason I prefer thought, because I think thought is more accurate. Accurate in the sense of noticing the holding to this moment thought, so to speak. Literally almost holding it. We could find it, notice it, feel it viscerally when we have thought about, he did that. It's important not just to notice the thought, but then to open that, so to speak, to the being, to the experiencing of that holding thought. Of course, thoughts, both of them are good, both of them are fine. The point of doing it at the end is to help us remember that our formal Zazen is just a little piece of this ongoing Zazen that is our whole life. Just as I talked about it last week, it's important to know that our practice continues from morning to night, throughout our day, throughout our life. And our practice is always right in front of us, right this moment, what we're holding on to, so-called physically, so-called mentally, so-called emotionally, and being clear on what the practice is. So various phrases that we bring up are to help us, support us, nurture us in doing the practice of this moment. Before, after, those are just dreams at this moment. That's why we have a nice expression like what the sixth ancestor Wayne Eng said when someone came to him. Not thinking good, not thinking evil. What is your original face before your parents were born? Of course, the phrases good and evil could be, you could use other English expressions. Even not thinking like, not thinking dislike could be used. We always are this original face, original who and what we are. And yet, we miss it if when we're entangling in thoughts, entangling in likes and dislikes. The point of whether what I say, the phrases we use, are to enable us and encourage us in being who we are, enable us and support us in carrying along in being zazening throughout the day. Being this moment, being just this, and noticing when holding on arises, when we hold and entangle in this or that, when we act this or that out. This is our all day, all night practice, our all day, all night practice opportunity and effort support. The noticing, this life noticing, is being as is, which nurtures experiencing. It nurtures being just this moment. So the phrases that we use, the gathas, the are all there to encourage us and support us. For instance, in the Gatha of Atonement, to the original text, I've added a line, all harmful actions ever committed to me. It's not there in the original, but I've added it because of our tendency to hold on to harmful actions that have been committed to me, that we hold on thoughts and memories about those. Otherwise, holding on to those, we react in all sorts of ways. We believe tendencies that we have to blame about such and such, and use them, sometimes consciously, sometimes not, as justifications for hatred, for anger, for poisons of all sorts. These days, unfortunately, this is particularly common. We people have all sorts of ideas, especially towards those we consider our opponents, political opponents, other kinds of opponents. Of course, humans have done this for a long time. We've categorized all sorts of people and justified all sorts of things, calling them enemies. But these days, with computers and the media and everything that goes on, we now become justified if we hold on to harms done to me recently or anciently. People can become social enemies, political enemies, racial enemies, ideological enemies. And so it's important to notice if and when we use harmful actions committed to me, as I said, recently, in the past, even in the far past before we were alive. Holding on to this about others, what they did, or what was done to those we identify with, those we call ourselves, these delusions of blame and worse justify what? Do we justify anger, hatred, and violence? And we see, unfortunately, in our society, all sorts of organizations. Some justify it based on their political ideology. Some call themselves woke, who base themselves in this sort of hatred, ideologies of race, class, gender, history, to justify and encourage these self-centered and self-justifying poisons. That's what we're talking about when we do the Gatha of Atonement. That's what we're talking about when we say caught in self-centered dreams. To enable us to see whether we or in other situations, political and social groups that we're part of, even if so-called Buddhist groups, who might justify hatred and anger as practice of being whatever you want to call yourself, racial warrior, gender warrior, echo warrior, poisoning ourselves, poisoning others with anger and hatred justifications. This is what the Buddha always is addressing. That's the practice of noticing when this arises, when these delusions, attachments, reactions, so that we can carry along the practice principles of noticing caught in self-centered dream, holding to self-centered thoughts, emotions, beliefs, reaction, attachments. The point of the Gatha is as a guide, as an aid and reminder for noticing attachment arising, reactions and arising, and to support us in Zazen. That's what the Bodhisattva being this moment life is. So, if you want to be a warrior, be a bodhisattva warrior of prajna paramita, of seeing being the emptiness form of these five conditions, life, exactly this moment, form of this moment, emptiness. So, since I ended last week, and this week with two more extended quotes to support us in our ongoing Zazen, to encourage our this moment practice. One is from Joko and one is from Hakuin. And they both clarify this from slightly different perspectives. Joko says, quote, "The whole detail of practice is for one objective only. What is that? To clarify the nature of this I, the one who wants to live forever. As you maintain awareness, particularly of your thoughts, at some point it dawns on you that you're not really all that stuff. All you are is the functioning, and you're not some fixed thing called. You could fill in your name here. You could even fill in your ethnicity, class, race, gender, or whatever other you call yourself. Joko continues, quote, "See what I mean? It just creeps up on you. It's not something you realize in your head. All practice is just to weaken that sense of I, because you can't possibly see what life is as long as you have a distorted view of who you are. The everyday nitty-gritty of practice, but we don't want to know that. We want some magic wand to come and do it, but it doesn't work that way. Nothing's going to do it," says Joko. "But just being alive each second. If you're fully present, that does it, see? But we don't want to be fully present. We want to think about ourselves. So you have a little koan that runs all the time," Joko says. See what I mean? Very different to really totally cut up a carrot. So she's saying, just do exactly what you're doing. Quote, "And not to just totally just, excuse me, let me say that again. And not to just totally just cut it up. See what I mean? We never do anything totally. We always have a little part of us that's doing something else." Close quote. And I'll add to Joko's a little comment. When cutting up a carrot, cut up yourself. Have the carrot cut you up. And now a nice quote from Hakuin about the Heart Sutra. Of course, we've just all did the Heart Sutra, recited the Heart Sutra, were the Heart Sutra. So Hakuin has a comment about the phrase, "No old age and death, and no end of old age and death." He says, "It's pearls scattered through a veil of the finest purple silk. Pearls packed inside a filthy beggar's bag. It takes real wisdom to know that those are jewels. The water a cow drinks turns to cream. The water a snake drinks turns to poison. The quiet 12-storied mansions where sages dwell are wrapped in perpetual five-colored clouds far beyond human's reach." And then Hakuin adds a verse to this. 12 causes are produced, 12 are destroyed. Let me add my explanation here just so that you're clear. This 12 is the 12 chain link of cause, effect, birth, death. The 12 links of the chain of causation. Producers are ordinary beings, destroyers called sages. Such is the world that the solitary Buddha sees, the dust in his eyes spinning around in emptiness. Who can really see the dust floating in his eyes? And then Hakuin encourages us, "O cherished Dharma wheel, great, perfect, round, and sudden, make your way into this light. Confirm the dust yourselves. Break free of those mangy fox carcasses you wear, dressing all of us. See, this is what Hakuin's encouraging us. A commentary says that when no light is replaced by light or wisdom, all the links of the chain become, just as they are, the wonderful workings of wisdom. That's your life, my life, our life. If we see clearly, right in the midst of the dust, we're free of this caught in self-centered dream, suffering, this holding that results in suffering, harm. We are able to be this very life, which reveals to us this moment, this perfection in the experiencing right here now, the wisdom of the Bodhisattva that we are, the compassion that we can manifest. Thank you.